The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. I have known your rector for a long time. One warm afternoon, many, many years ago in Pennsylvania, my wife called me in a panic and she said, "I can't find little John." He was about 2 years old then. And she said, "I've searched everywhere. The door was wide open and you know how busy the streets are." We lived right on the corner. And she said, "Honey, I'm afraid something terrible has happened to him." Well, there was an alarm in her voice, and it certainly touched me someplace deeply inside. And whatever I was doing, whoever I was with at the moment, whatever I was involved in, suddenly seemed very unimportant. And the only thing that mattered was finding our lost little boy. So I put down the receiver. I raced out of the church office. Our house was on the opposite side of the church property. And I rushed over to our house and we searched all over every possible location. She was just about to call the police when way back in the dark recesses of a very large closet in one of the back rooms of that big old house, she found our son curled up in the back of a closet, laughing away, having the biggest time by himself back there. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world that he had tricked us. Well, we've all been there, and there's nothing as hard as losing someone we love. And when you fear that you've lost someone, there's no greater joy than being reunited. Although I must say my joy at that moment was tempered by a little bit of fatherly irritation. But anyway, Jesus talked about this idea of lostness frequently. And here in Luke's gospel, he tells 3 different parables about lostness. It's the only place I can think of where Jesus told 3 different stories in a row, all making the same point. Luke described a lost sheep and a lost coin, and in the parable of the prodigal son, which we didn't read, a lost boy. And all are different ways to illustrate that people can be lost in the most profound ways. And he told about a shepherd and a woman and a father as well, and each one is a picture of God who cares about people who are lost. You know, God created us in love to be in close, trusting, loving, secure relationship with God and with each other. And if we're not, we can become lost. That's the point. And some people are lost and they know it. Lost people don't always know they're lost. But they may have never had a close, loving relationship. And they may not have any idea that intimacy with God is a possibility even. And sometimes people are lost and they do know it. But they don't know what to do about it. Now think about it a little bit more. What does it mean when something is lost? Think about something you lose. I'm always losing my keys or the remote or something. What does it mean when something's lost? It means it's not where it ought to be in order to be useful or secure. It's cut off. It's maybe insecure, possibly unsafe. When something's lost, it's out of sync with its purpose. And Jesus is saying that people can be lost like that. Not just kids who get separated from their parents in shopping malls, but in much more subtle ways. When we have no loving relationship with God, we're lost. Or when we find ourselves not really caring particularly about God's presence or guidance in our lives, we're lost. And when we don't really know where we're going in life, and there's so many alternatives out there, but no clear sense of the right direction or of God's pathway for us, we feel lost. And when we selfishly forge ahead or do what we're bound and determined to do, regardless of what God says or how it hurts other people, then we're lost. We've been reading a new history of Wallace Simpson, the American divorcee who became the Duchess of Windsor. Remember, the king abdicated his throne to marry her. Well, she's a good example of lostness. Page 262 in this book. Let me just read this quote. "The problem for the Duke and Duchess of Windsor was that they now had little to give weight to their lives. After the abdication, they lived with a laminated form of grief. As it became increasingly clear that their previous existence was unrecoverable. The couple became major players amid a dazzling but ultimately unfulfilling cafe society, attending exotic balls and charity functions. The glittering hue of celebrity had a tawdry underbelly. Wallace had a series of cosmetic surgeries to lift her face, yet nothing could conceal the tragic lack of purpose eating into the fabric of their day-to-day existence. Both she and Edward began to drink too much and eat even less than before." They were lost. And some people are running away from God as hard as they can. But a lot of other people just don't know the Lord. They may have some kind of faith in a greater or higher power. They may pray every once in a while, but it doesn't have any substance because they're lost from God. Jesus said that people are like sheep. They keep wandering off, getting lost, getting into trouble. And the prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." You ever realize when that was true of you in your own life? Can you think of any friends or associates who you might describe as lost? Some, like the prodigal son, determined to go their own way. They're willful, thoughtless, heading down a pathway towards destruction. They don't have anybody holding their hand or speaking words of wisdom to them. Perhaps they do. They're just not listening. Some are less aware. They're thinking life is fine, but they're just slipping away from the way of God, not realizing it. Our Christian forebears who wrote many of the hymns we sing and the prayers we pray in our Anglican tradition, they recognize that each one of us can wander away from God. And that's probably why so many of us love that old prayer of confession. I guess you pray it here. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We've offended against thy holy laws. We've left undone those things that we ought to have done. We've done those things that we ought not to have done. Apart from your grace, there's no help in us. But then that prayer shifts. And it's so wonderful. Then it says, but thou, O Lord, have what? Mercy. But thou, O Lord, have mercy. It's a good phrase to remember when somebody is headed down the pathway to lostness. Lost people matter to God. God has mercy. So the shepherd takes off after the one sheep that's wandered off, and the woman begins to sweep every square inch of her house, determined to find that precious gold piece that had come loose from her wedding necklace, a gift from her husband when they got married. Determined to find it. God cares about lost people. Listen to another way Jesus talked about this. This is from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew remembered Jesus talking about lostness another time from Matthew 18. Jesus took a little child and he stood the child up in front of them. And then this is what he said. He said, take care that you don't despise one of these little ones, because I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, doesn't he leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he rejoices over it, even more than over the 99 that never went astray. And then Jesus said, so it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. For God so loved the lost world that he gave his only begotten Son. How did Jesus describe his own mission? He said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. Did you ever think of the Lord that way? That he came on mission, a rescue mission, trying to save those who had been lost from his heavenly Father? Many years ago, someone shared a wonderful poem with me. Do you know Francis Thompson's amazing poem, The Hound of Heaven? It's an exotic story where he pictures the Lord as though he's a relentless bloodhound tracking him down while he fled from him. The poet is running away from God as hard as he can. This is what he says. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down labyrinthine ways of my own mind and in the midst of tears. I hid from him and under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped and shot. I fled from those strong feet that followed after. It's an amazing poem. Look it up. Francis Thompson, The Hound of Heaven. But in the very end, a very surprising end, when he surrenders to the Hound of Heaven, he can't escape. Only then he realizes that all along it was the will of the Father to love him, to bless him, to restore him to everything that his soul longed for, but that he could never find apart from God. We just sang a wonderful hymn just a minute ago that captures the essence of that. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. perverse and foolish. Oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me home. There's that theme that the Lord wants us to be home with him. And in Luke 15, verse 5, it says, when he finds the lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home and calls his friends in, and they have a big party together. My wife and I stepped away after 40 years of being rector of our church just about 3 weeks ago, stepped aside. Now we're in a new chapter of life. Pretty wonderful. But people wrote us letters. And they gave us a big treasure chest like this, full of letters, hundreds of letters from people in the church saying nice things. Many wrote stories that were similar. One of our vestry members said that he went off to college, and when he went off to college, he went away from God too. And he didn't think much about the Lord for the next 20 years. But in his late 30s, for whatever reason, he and his wife and little girl slipped into the back of the nearest church. It happened to be our church. And as he listened to the choir, and as the people knelt, and as he listened to the scriptures and to the sermon, he said this feeling came over him. I'm home. I'm home. All I can tell you, he said, is I was home. He hadn't even known he was lost. But he sat in the little church for a half an hour, and he knew that he'd come home. Sometimes a church, a place like this, of people like you, becomes home. And even more, the people become family. You know how it is. It becomes a holy home. The prayers that are prayed day in and day out make it a holy home. The scriptures that are read, the sins that are confessed over and over again, the commitments that are made, the tears that are shed, the promises that are made, the decisions that are reached, the burdens that are entrusted to God. When people are reconciled and when things like this happen in a place over the years, it becomes a holy place. And that's what's happening here. It's becoming a holy place. It's becoming home. It's becoming His. That's what you're experiencing. I noticed in the stories that Jesus told, there are two moments of great joy in each parable. First, when the lost is found, there's joy. And second, when all the friends come in to join in the celebration. When someone turns to the Lord or returns to God in faith, turning away from whatever else has been his goal in life, or God, or purpose, this is a moment to celebrate. We celebrate that person's coming to the Lord Jesus. But it's not just between God and the individual alone. This is a blessing for the whole believing community. We're more complete now than we were before, when God has brought this one who was lost into our family. That's something to celebrate. We all have stories of losing things, like my best friend in college who called me a few years ago and he said, I lost my college ring in the surf down at Atlantic Beach in my 20s. And this week I got a package from the alumni office over at Chapel Hill. Somebody had found my ring in the surf and had sent it to the alumni office. And they saw my initials and they saw the year and they sent it to me. He said, can you believe it? Rejoice with me. We've all got stories like that. Amazing stories of how lost things have been found. But there's even greater joy when a person who's been lost has been found. I don't know if you remember a movie 20 years ago called Hotel Rwanda. And if you see that movie, Hotel Rwanda, a powerful movie. It was during the time of war in Rwanda, that terrible time, and the central character and his wife continually searching week and week through the destruction and the bloodshed for their little niece and nephew. And they're lost, and there seems to be absolutely no possibility of their being alive. But in the very end, they not only find the children, but they're also able to take them with them and protect them. And they head for a refugee camp and a safe place. And they have a joyful celebration. And it's a dramatic picture of God's relentless, loving search for His lost children and determination to restore them to His family and to a safe community. You know, this is so important that Jesus tells us over and over again. He says, do you know that the angels party in heaven when a lost person is found? Let me read this to you. Maybe you didn't hear it. It's amazing what he says. Verse 6. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep that's going to be rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who repents. Or in verse 10, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Folks who've fallen away from God and are brought back. Now, Jesus is implying here that God assigns angels to accompany and watch over His children. But the angels aren't always able to ensure our safety, and they can't force us to make good decisions. The angels apparently communicate with each other about the progress and the problems of those in their charge. And here Jesus says that when a lost soul comes to repentance, turns back to God, and comes into the family, you know, he says the angels throw a party in heaven. The angels party in heaven. I would imagine that when angels party, it's no state affair. Some churches understand this better than others. Some of us were talking this week about our visits in East Africa. In Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania especially, there was a great, great revival, the East African revival that still exerts a huge influence. And in many parts of those countries, people will come together once a month for large meetings to worship God and to report lost people who've been found. And people will come up and they tell the story of coming back to faith. And when they do, there's great cheering and shouting and singing. They sing. And I think, well, those people understand. They're joining in the party that the angels are throwing in heaven. So I want to ask you some questions here. We need to close. Do you believe people can be lost? Do you believe lost people matter to God? Do you yourself care about lost people? Do you pray for? Do you befriend? Do you seek out lost people? Do you seek opportunities to help lost people move closer to God? And when such people come to faith, do you celebrate? We had a vestry retreat at our church not long ago, and we listened to one another tell their stories. And in our church, we've got a vestry full of folks who, they were once lost people. We had a tearful, awesome time of listening to each other. And I believe that consistently over the years, what's made our church special is that people keep getting found. I think the same thing started happening here. Children, young people coming to sincere faith. Adults, sometimes cynical, wayward, hurting, coming to Christ. Sometimes broken hearts are healed. Sometimes broken families are mended. Sometimes people who've just been using God repent. And people looking for the Lord have found Him here. Over and over and over again. Friends, these are things to celebrate. That's the point this morning. But I wonder, I don't think we in the church party enough. Really, I'm serious. I don't think we take time to celebrate the good things that God is doing in people's lives. Now, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But I know that personally, I'm so dutiful and so responsible that even when God does a good thing, I say, hooray, and then I get back to work. So much to be done. That's a mistake. You know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Maybe you need to learn, like me, more about celebrating the healing, saving acts of God here and now. God, help us to do that. You might need to appoint a social chairman in this church just to plan parties to celebrate the good things that God does. There's one last little thing that I want you to notice in this story. Jesus said that when lost things were reunited with their owner, then the parties began. What mattered was that they were back, that they belonged. The same with the prodigal son. That bad boy who ran away from his father didn't do a single thing to straighten his life out. He just came home to his father. And the mistake some tend to make is to think that until a person gets his life all straightened out, God's displeased with him. Jesus teaches a completely different understanding of God. God loves that person. God pursues that person before the person ever gets his life straightened out. And this sheep didn't do anything to cause the shepherd to love him. Repentance isn't something we do so that God will love us. In these two parables, God loves us and pursues us. And when he reaches us and embraces us, and heals us and he helps us, then we're able to truly repent and grow up in God. You don't earn God's love by living a good life. You live a good life because God loves you. And I just say, if anyone is here who has never truly known the gracious love of God, he offers it to you today in Jesus Christ. And coming forward to receive communion is a way of acting out that I'm opening up my life in faith to Jesus Christ. And I urge you to come. You don't have to do anything. Simply to ask him to be in your life and to love you and lead you. Church is home. But there's another home. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. In my Father's house, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going before you to prepare a place for you. And I will come back to receive you and take you to be with me. This is just the beginning of home. There's a whole other home that Jesus is preparing for us. As we look to him in faith. And that's why as we mourn the loss of loved ones here, at the same time we look to that home in heaven and we give grateful thanks that this is not the end. This is just the beginning. Just the prologue to the book that God wants to write about you and me for the rest of our lives, here and in eternity. Let us pray. God, help us to discern lost people without a judgmental spirit. Help us to love the lost with compassion. Help us to reach out and engage with the lost. God, help us to be full of grace. Help us to learn to celebrate with your people all the good things you're doing. And oh God, help us to be a church where the lost are found and where we never tire of rejoicing that you are our good shepherd. Amen.